Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again, very thankful for allowing us to come together as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ for our midweek Bible study here so that we can look into another portion of your word. And we pray that everything that we have done and do tonight are pleasing in your sight. We thank you for those of our number who are the older of our congregation who are still able to be with us, and we pray for those who are who is a little harder to get out for the midweek Bible study that they that they are well, and we pray for the one who's going to be speaking tonight that they'll have a ready remembrance of what they prepared for us, and we pray that we are always able to look back into your word to find the true truth. And everything. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews 3. Just a few thoughts tonight that I'll leave us with for our midweek Bible study period, and a lesson to take away with us. Kind of simple in a lot of ways. When we get to Hebrews chapter 3, the Hebrew writer is challenging the folks that are reading this to think about the evidence of what the children of Israel had been given in the past and how they had responded to it so that New Testament hearers would do better with the Word of God. We can pick up in a lot of different places, but I think for tonight I'm going to ask us to pick up in verse 14. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 3 says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." Referring back to what he just talked about there with the children of Israel having heard to go into the land, but rejecting that idea and not wanting to go in. And the writer says it's because of unbelief. And verse 12 says that it was an evil heart of unbelief. And he's telling them, now we are partakers of Christ. And when we hear the gospel, let's not harden our hearts like those with the evil heart of unbelief did when they provoked the Lord. And then he goes on to tell them how that had turned out for them. Verse 16, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all, that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it absolutely everybody? Was everybody in the Lord's anger? No. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So who got the condemnation? Well, it was those who did not believe. And it turned out to be the whole generation of those people were unbelievers. They would not accept the challenge. They would not go into the land with faith. And so they were turned back into the wilderness until they would pass away. And God was grieved with them, and he was angry with them and provoked by them to not give them the promised land, as he had talked about for hundreds of years since Abraham, and then promised them as they were coming out of Egypt that they could go into. When they got to the border, though, they said, "No, we don't like what we love the way the land looks, but we don't like the challenge that it's going to be to go in. We don't think we can do it." And God's like, "I didn't tell you to do it. I'm going to do it." And so they provoked him to not want to take the gift that he had to give. So, verse 19, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then the Hebrew writer turns in chapter 4 to make an application of that. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Okay, simply put, let's not follow after the same example of fear and unbelief to not receive and accept the promise that God's given, because he says, "We have heard the gospel message those of the New Testament time, and we've heard the same gospel message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, verse 3:14, to be partakers of Christ. We've heard that gospel message. A gospel message was given to them too. You're going to come out of bondage, and the promise to Abraham is going to be fulfilled, and I'm going to give you rest in a land that is not yours now, but I'm going to clear it out and give it to you, and you will live there forever as my children if you'll be obedient to me. They heard that good news, that gospel that was given to them, but they did not accept the challenge, and they did not mix what they heard with belief, faith, and when they heard it, and so they found themselves coming short and ended up provoking God to not be able to go into the land at all. Verse 3 begins some passages referencing what David had to say, King David. Now remember, of course, in the storyline, right? They go into the land and they're judged by judges for 450 years. And then Saul is appointed king. And then after 40 years, David is appointed king. And so we're well past the time of Joshua leading them into the land of Canaan, right? And that's important to note, that time frame has passed. Look at verse 3. For we which have believed do enter in to rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and said, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So God seemed to equate that idea of the rest that he created on the seventh day is a rest that he had planned for his people. Even as the worlds were being founded, God had a plan for his people to receive this rest. Okay, but these are quotes from the Psalms, 530 or 50 years after Joshua led the people into the land of Canaan coming out of Egypt. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited certain days, saying, in David today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you shall hear my voice, harden not your hearts. So he uses these psalm passages written by David, talking about a rest that was still to come. And the idea that they had rejected and not received the full rest. Now, of course, that generation died in the wilderness, and God did take their children as they developed back into that full nation again. He did take their children and give them the land. But even as they conducted themselves in the land, it did not turn out to be the full rest that God would want for them. Because he said, you can live there forever as my children, but you had to be obedient. And they were very, very disobedient. And so even that generation that believed enough to go into the land did not maintain the land in faithful obedience to God. And so David begins to prophesy in the Psalms about a rest that is to come. And now the New Testament has been preached about a rest that God has for his people. And the Hebrew writer is going to help us understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is that same offer for peace and rest. Verse 8, for if Jesus, now the King James has that, I think other translations probably do actually show that. Jesus is simply an Aramaic New Testament version of Joshua. And he's referring to the old Joshua here, not Jesus Christ, but Joshua who led them into the land of Canaan. So remember, we just heard of the quotes from Psalms that David wrote 500 and so years after Joshua led the people into the land. And he says, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. So as the New Testament came on the scene, Joshua led them into the land of Canaan, and even though they received a portion of rest, a kind of rest, it was not the fullness that God had wanted to give. So David was 400 and 500 years later talking about another rest to come. And then the Hebrew writer says, if Joshua had given them the final rest that God intended for them, then there wouldn't have been a need to keep talking about it through David. And so when David prophesies and teaches about it, it's not even what he's going to give, but what the Lord's going to do in the future, which is, of course, in Jesus Christ. For verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. So that rest was still to come for God's people. And when Jesus came and talked about the salvation that he had for mankind, the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ was the final and ultimate offer for a rest before God. And that rest was not to be in a land on earth. And it was not even to be in a physical organization of some kind, like we might think of churches to be. It is resting in Jesus. It is a cessation from works that bring about salvation. And so if a man is entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. The very idea, Randy just talked about this in Romans when he was up here preaching just recently here, the idea that Paul was talking to the people he was writing to about works, but not works of the law that would bring about faith or bring about their salvation. He was talking about works that would come as a result of being freely saved by God. I would quote to you Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8, 9, and 10. That we are saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, lest a man would try to justify himself by his works that he's done. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works, those works that follow, not works that earn salvation. It is a rest and a peace to find salvation in Jesus, where we don't have works that we have to rely on to do, because we can't please God in our personal works. We can please God by trusting in Him to save us through Jesus Christ. And that was the rest that God wanted to offer. And when a man understands, a person understands that the rest God has is to stop trying to earn salvation, but to receive it from the sacrifice of Christ and then become his workmanship, to become the work of God in ourselves, not to do them, but to be them. Then we can accomplish the good works that glorify God, but that's not about earning salvation. That's a result of God giving us a peace and a rest where we don't have to keep working on our salvation. We can work on being faithful servants, having been saved by Jesus Christ. It's really a beautiful passage, in my opinion, to understand that. And I love the way the Hebrew writer goes from something so far back in the Old Testament to show that even referencing the creation itself, that God had that plan all along. To give us a rest and a peace from works to try to earn our salvation, to try to earn our way into the good graces of God. And the fact that God was saving us by His own grace through our faith that we would have in Him. Not to reject Him in unbelief, but to have faith and enter into that rest of not having to work for our salvation, but to receive it freely as the gift that it is. So when we teach the gospel to those round about us, you know, I think that's the right kind of message, that we have something to offer. It's a peace, it's a rest, it's a home, a place to go and stop worrying about salvation and worrying about doing this, that, and the other things so that we can go to heaven. We need to learn that it's in Jesus Christ is the opportunity to be in heaven. And obedience to Him through faith is what will save us by grace, God's grace, not of works. Lest any man should boast, but become God's workmanship. That offer, that gospel message is here again tonight for us to receive that. And so I preach this, mostly to a room who is already Christians. And so the question is just make sure that we're understanding we should be living in that rest and peace. And if you don't feel that in your life, if you're still trying to earn that good grace into God, then you're not hearing the offer that God has made to us. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sins and you knew that you were in a covenant relationship with Christ, then you have accomplished what needed to be accomplished. You have acted on your faith to receive the salvation that comes through the water baptism of being like His Son Jesus. But if you're still worried about your salvation from that, then that's a piece that we want to help you with. We want to help you understand better. That should bring about the peace with God. But if you haven't done those obedient things, then enter into that rest by not trying to figure out how to earn your salvation and go about some grand thing that the Lord will have to save you for. because you're such a good person. Realize that that's not where salvation is. Salvation is in the offer to enter into his rest, to cease from works that would enter into the works that would save us, and to be live a life in Jesus Christ where he's done the works and he makes us his workmanship. If that gospel message is appealing to you tonight and that you need the help of your brethren, please let us know by coming forward as we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been able to be here and to remember how Jesus cared so diligently for all those and had compassion on those, the many multitudes of, we know over 5,000 that he had the ability to take care of, and throughout life, everyone that can obey him can have this same comfort, even with trials that can help hone us into better shape if we will accept it and live and obey what he has for us. We pray, dear Father, that you can guide us and help us through these days and be with all the extra people that are traveling this weekend. Keep them safe. And thank you again for taking care of us so much in the past through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.